Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sake Revolution. This is America's first sake podcast, and I'm your host, John Puma from the Sake Notes, also the administrator over at the Internet Sake Discord, and lead mod at Reddit's r/sake community.
And I'm your host, Timothy Sullivan. I am a sake samurai. I'm a sake educator, as well as the founder of the Urban Sake website. And every week, John and I will be here tasting and chatting about all things sake and doing our best to make it fun and easy to understand. Hello, John.
Tim, that was a little bumpier open than we're used to. It feels like we haven't done this in a while.
Speak for yourself. I'm a seasoned professional.
Well, yes. We are both seasoned professionals, but I think that we're going to take a brief moment here and address the small elephant in the room.
No, there's no elephant. It's a tiny little puppy in the corner, not an elephant.
The puppy in the corner, the puppy in the sake education corner. We haven't done this in a while. We haven't recorded a new episode in a little bit. And it's nothing. I just want to say nothing bad has happened to Tim or I. We're still doing our thing. We're still, we're still living life and we're happy and healthy. But our professional lives, our day jobs, so to speak, had some really large projects of late.
Yes,
and it's made doing the show a little bit more difficult than it had been in the past, right, Tim?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I've been working on a big project out at Brooklyn Kura. We opened the Sake Studies Center and we've been developing programming and holding classes. And that's been a whole big project, but very rewarding and very fun. And hopefully we'll have some collabs with the Sake Studies Center soon. Mm-hmm. But you and I, John, are back in the saddle, aren't we?
We are. The saddle is the chair at my desk at my home. and we're here. I'm sitting. I've got my microphone. I've got my headphones. There's a wine glass and a bottle of sake next to me. I am ready to get back into it.
All right. Well, what could be more exciting and more thrilling for our listeners than talking about sake yeast?
Hang on a second. So we have so many series on this show.
Yes, we do.
We've got series devoted to rice, drinking vessels, everything under the sun. And we never really delved into yeast.
Well, we did have one episode on flour yeast, remember?
We did have, but that wasn't like, we weren't starting a series. That was just a fun one-off, wasn't it? Or is it?
It was a series.
Or was it
in
stealthily?
My mind.
It was secret, the secret origin of our new series.
my evil plan worked perfectly.
Oh my goodness, Timothy, what have you been doing?
I tricked you into a new series without your approval.
So here we are with a new series about sake yeast, I guess. Is that what is officially is happening now?
Yeah, it's official now. There are many varieties of sake yeast and may not be the sexiest topic on the surface, but we're going to make it interesting, aren't we?
I think, yes, it is not the sexiest topic on the surface, but one thing I do think is that it's kind of important. I think it's underrated. Mm. We always talk about how important rice is and regionality, but the yeast is like kind of where a lot of the aroma and the flavor come from, isn't it?
Yes, yeast is incredibly important when it comes to the aroma of the sake. So maybe we should talk just really briefly about what yeast is and what it does for people who are just getting started understanding alcoholic fermentation. But yeast is one of the microorganisms that's involved in making alcohol, and it's used in wine, beer, and sake. And what we do with the yeast is put into the mash, and it eats sugar and then metabolizes it and gives off alcohol and CO2. And that is what I call the engine of fermentation. So it's a microorganism that basically makes the alcohol as a byproduct of its metabolism.
Right. Wouldn't that be a fun superpower to have in your metabolism?
Well, there's all different kinds of sake yeast in Japan, and most of them are numbered if they're maintained by the Kyokai or the Brewers Association of Japan. They have a number, like there's a yeast number 7, there's a yeast number 9, there's a yeast number 1801. Mm-hmm. And those can be purchased if you have a brewing license in Japan. And they all have different characteristics, and brewers are just going to you know, usually purchase the type of yeast that fits the style of sake they want to make.
Hmm.
But today we're going to talk about something a little different.
Second episode about on the yeast topic, and we're already doing weird stuff. I like
Yes, yes. This is connected to the Ginjo boom. Have you ever heard about the Ginjo boom?
The Ginjo boom? That's my rap name. That's I've cut that.
DJ Ginjo Boom. We are not
that's
cutting
my,
that
that's
out.
That's my DJ. That's my DJ name, Ginjo Boom.
We are not cutting that out. All right. Okay, Mr. Boom.
Anyway.
So you obviously got your rap name from the real Ginjo Boom, right?
Obviously. Now, I mean, you know, like, I have a reputation for enjoying big, fun, aromatic sake. And so, yeah, Ginjo.
Well, in the late 80s and early 90s, there was an economic boom in Japan. Real estate prices were through the roof and there was lots of money being made. Mm-hmm. And there was a demand suddenly for more aromatic, more quote unquote modern styles of sake. And what happened was that a lot of the larger breweries kind of had a stranglehold on the yeasts that were used to make these more fragrant modern styles. And when we say Ginjo styles, what are we talking about, John?
We're talking big fruity, the fruit bombs.
Yes. Lots of pineapple, banana, and apple, right? Tropical fruits.
Yes.
Yes. And I know that's very much, as we say, your wheelhouse, as we've said many times.
It is on brand for me is what it is.
Yes. So, and some of the other prefectures or areas were wanting to get in on this Ginjo boom and produce these types of sakes. Mm-hmm. And the yeasts were not as readily available. So one of your favorite prefectures, John, Kochi. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Kochi Prefecture.
Yeah. That's,
you've been there. Kochi, I've been there. We love it.
We do. We do. But the thing is that Kochi is so known for kind of dry sake. They've got a rep, right? Is that a good way to put it? They have a reputation. They have a, you know, obviously there's exceptions to every rule, but kind of like when you think of Niigata, you've got that kind of like that light classic sake. When you think of Kochi, you think of something really dry. It's going to go with food.
Yes. They do have a reputation for producing dry sake, but they also have a reputation for producing really fruity and juicy sake. Mm. And the Kochi Prefectural Industrial Technology Center just rolls off the tongue. But that institute was tasked with finding a fruit-forward yeast that they could use in the prefecture.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1993, they developed a type of yeast, two yeasts actually. One is called Cell 19 and one is called Cell 24. That's the letters C-E-L. I know it sounds like something you'd find in a jail, but this is...
There's only one L on this one, Tim.
This is what they decided to call the yeast strain.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be talking in particular about Cell 24 today. So this was developed in Kochi by the scientists at the Prefectural Industrial Technology Center in the early 90s. And it had some characteristics that really turned up the volume on what they wanted.
Yeah. It's almost like they were like, oh, dry sake, huh? We've got dry sake. I'll show you dry sake. And then they went and made this extremely fruity, big, bold yeast, or rather, I'm sorry, this yeast that makes extremely big, bold flavors. It's it's kind of interesting. It almost feels like they were trying to play against type in a way. They're like, well, we've got this style down. Let's do this other thing. And then we've got it. But the early 90s is not that long ago. So this is would you say this like a young yeast then? Is that, you know?
I think so.
Yeah,
I mean, we talked about
like 31 years. That's not too bad.
Yeah, when we talked about Masumi, we talked about yeast number 7 in our Masumi episode, right?
Right.
Yeah, and that was in the post-war period, I think, that they discovered yeast number 7. So there is a characteristic that cell 24 gives to the sake. And we're going to get a little scientific-y right now, but this is called, have you ever heard of ethyl caproate?
Once or twice.
Okay. This is like an aroma compound that is in the sake, and it is one of the key aromas for ginjo or fruity style. This one is known particularly when you have high ethyl caproate compounds in the sake. You get fruity aromas, sweet aromas, and especially apple-like aromas. Mm. So it's a very concentrated apple-y, apple peel, apple aroma. Mm-hmm. And it's the cell 24 was developed in such a way to have double the ethyl caproate of other sake yeasts.
So the go big or go home?
Absolutely. You know, they turned the, they turned the speaker up to 11.
Yes, they
did. Ethyl caproate. Yes. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So they asked for, I actually heard a story. I don't know if this is true, but I heard a story that the scientist who developed cell 24, Haruhiko Uehigashi, he worked at the Kochi Prefectural Center. I heard that he actually is not the biggest fan of sake made with the yeast he discovered. It's too fruity for him, and it's too juicy and over the top.
Teach their own. I don't want to tell the man what he's allowed to like. But it is a little ironic that he ended up not being a fan.
But he gave the people what they asked for, right?
That he did. You know, you want something big and fruity? We got that. We can make this happen.
All right. Now, there are a number of sakes that use cell 24, and we're going to focus in on one in particular today, aren't we?
We are. When I think of cell 24 in the U.S., this is the one that comes to mind. And as you pointed out, we're dealing with Kochi. So
yes.
The sake is from Kochi.
Has to come from Kochi.
So, no, wait. So, no, they're not distributing or they're not sharing this yeast with any breweries outside of Kochi? That's interesting.
I think
it's not shocking, but it's interesting.
I think cell 24 is a Kochi prefectural yeast. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I like that. I like that the guy, you know, that they're keeping it, close to the vest.
We'll see. let's look at the sake. What brewery do we have here?
So this is Kamezumi Shuzo over in Kochi. Kochi, of course, on Shikoku Island down in southern Japan. And this is their Junmai Ginjo Nama Genshu. So kitchen sink on there with all the names.
That's my line.
I know. I'm stealing it. Cell 24, the name they're giving it here is Eternal Spring. I kind of like that. What do you think of Eternal Spring? Has it a nice ring to it?
That has to refer to the juicy, fruity, spring-like characteristics of this. Like you can tap into springtime anytime you want by drinking this sake. Yes.
Now, can we take a moment here and talk about this label? Because it's very interesting. It's very unique.
So I do have some intel on this label.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, please check out sakerevolution.com to see a photo of the bottle and this label we're about to talk about. But the label is designed in such a way where it's just like handwritten, the name of the sake, the stats, and there's a little red stamp that says unpasteurized sake or nama sake. And it looks like almost unfinished label.
Yeah.
And according to the Johto website, the sake was so popular and in such demand when it came out that they didn't have time to design a label. They just had their internal handwritten stats on the label for, you know, the internal use. Mm-hmm. And they just went with that for the commercial label because they didn't have time to design and print a label. So it looks very hand-drawn, doesn't it?
Like, yeah. And I've seen other brands do similar styles, but I think that in my mind, I think Kamezumi might be like kind of the first. Or at least it's the one that I think of. I love how it looks, where it just looks like somebody grabbed a marker and just wrote all the stats down on the front. It's very interesting. It's very striking. However, for people in the States, there's one thing that we want to explain, though, that there is really no English on the front of this label, though. You do have to flip it around to the back to see what you're dealing with.
But it's a very striking label.
Oh, but you're not yet. It's very striking. You see the one with all the stats on it. There's the only like Romaji, the only like English lettering is the cell in cell 24.
Yep.
So if you find the cell 24, you have found it.
Yes. Yes. So it does look like a handwritten label. And that's the story, that they had to rush it to market and didn't have time to design a label. So they just went with their internal internal label, which I thought was really cool.
That is amazing.
Yeah. So what about the stats on this? We know what the yeast is. We know the yeast is cell 24. Yeah. What else do we got?
Well, I'm glad we established that part. So the rice here is a Hatanashiki and Matsuyama Me. So Hatanashiki, we've talked about plenty of times, and I think actually we spotlighted it once. It's often associated with Hiroshima, which is very nearby. And I am unfamiliar personally with Matsuyama Me. They have been polished down to 50% of their original size.
The only intel I have on Matsuyama Me is that it comes from Ehime Prefecture.
Ooh, okay.
Yes.
So the borrowing sense and outside rice.
Other than that, I don't know much, but I did read that the Matsuyama Me rice that they use for this sake is from Ehime.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. The ABV on this is 14. So even though we said, it's a Nama Genshu and blah, blah, blah. And Genshu does mean kind of your quote unquote, your cask strength, your undiluted, doesn't mean that it's high in alcohol. It just means they didn't add water to it. And so in this case, 14%, so that's a touch low. And here's where we have the fun. The Nihonshudo, the sake meter value, that measure of dry to sweet. Where you go low, you go sweet. And this is minus 17. We should have featured this on the Extreme series.
It's not that extreme.
It's not that, no. The one we used for Extreme was actually far more.
Yes.
And then the acidity is 2, which is also high. And may counterbalance that Nihonshudo just a tad, that sake meter value. One other bit, we don't usually get this bit of information, but I like that they added it. Mm. The Shubo method is a Sokujo. So,
oh, yeah.
Like most sake.
Yeah, like 90% of sake 90% is Sokujo. Yep. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. We know this is a Namazake and a Genshu. Mm-hmm. So even though it's lower alcohol, there's little to no water added for that. Mm-hmm. And this sake does have a reputation, don't you think?
It does. It certainly does. I think we should probably taste a little bit and then we'll talk about its reputation and compare it to what we're experiencing. What do you think?
All right.
All right.
I'm on board. Sold.
So sold.
Let's get it in the glass.
Sold to the man with the headphones on.
All right. Here we go. I can smell it already. I just opened the bottle and I can smell it. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Ginjo punch in the face. That's what this is.
It's a Ginjo Ka. I meant Ginjo Ka again means Ginjo aroma. Ginjo Ka punch in the face. I think that that is one way to put it.
It's just a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I like my Ginjo aromas as much as the next guy, possibly more than the next guy. Yeah. But this is intense. It is so much.
John and I both have this in the glass, and we're going to give it a smell. Bring it to the nose.
That's all big. Right.
It's a very big aroma, first of all. Very perfumed. Lots of aroma pouring out of the glass. And what I smell is a lot of fruity notes, primarily. Mm-hmm. There's apple, there's banana, pineapple as well. I'm getting a lot of pineapple smell. Some strawberry as well. Mm. Very much a fruit salad on steroids, turned up to 11. Juicy, juicy aroma.
Very, it smells like it's going to be juicy. It's one of those things. It's just got that fruit salad. Mm. Yeah, it's also a little jammy to me. Like it's fruit salad and maybe a little fruit puree. You know what I mean?
Yeah, strawberry preserves.
Yeah. but it is big and like it's
yeah
it's a lot.
Yeah. So we talked about the ethyl caproate, which is that apple and fruity aroma.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also another factor that is produced, and that is malic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And
now we've talked about malic acid before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we said the acidity was a 2.0, which is just a touch on the high end of the scale for the average. But we want to keep that when we taste this as well, we want to keep an eye out for the acidity on the palate and see how those fruit flavors and acidity transfer to what we taste. So you ready to give it a taste?
Let's do it.
All right. Hmm. Okay, it tastes like a liquid fruit roll-up to me.
That is a very astute observation, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I can't think of anything else.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's on the nose.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it has that Jolly Rancher fruit roll-up fruitiness. Intense, concentrated, jammy, rich. There's melon, again, pineapple, lots of pineapple for me.
Mm-hmm.
Some strawberry preserves, some Smucker's action going on.
Smucker's action going on. I agree. But it's intense. And there's also, there's some gas in here still.
Yeah.
So you can feel that a little bit. The mouthfeel is nice. The mouthfeel is, one of the more interesting things, and I think it distracts nicely from the intensity of the fruit.
Mm.
I think that without the mouthfeel, it might just be like too much. That tiny bit of effervescence really goes a long way towards balancing it out.
I will say it's delicious.
Yes.
But there's a lot of sweetness here too, right? Yeah.
Yes.
It's quite sweet. And very coating on the palate. And it's an intense sake.
Yeah. This is not, to me at least, this is not a sake that I am going to be sipping and then, oh, wow, where did the bottle go? Because you're aware of how much of it you're drinking. It's a lot. Not that you're drinking a lot of it, but the flavor is a lot. It's very intense. It coats the mouth. It is in charge.
Yeah. I never do this, but I'm going to make a wine comparison. Like I'm usually against this, but I'm going to break my own rule today.
Oh my goodness.
This has like the weight and the body and the punch in the face of like a big tannic red wine. And if you compare that to like a light, clean sipping white wine for summer, that's drier and, you know, it's like that kind of a difference with the body, the aroma, the perfume, the weight is all just super intense. And
I get it. I get exactly what you're saying.
On top of that, it's like, this is a rich, fruity sake. And this is going to be a big attraction for some types of consumers. But I think other consumers who maybe like clean, light, easy drinking, sipping sakes. This may be too bold, too rich.
Yes. Perhaps if you are a scientist who makes yeast and made this, you may be like, not my thing. Yeah. No, this is definitely not for everybody. I don't think any sake is necessarily for everybody.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think that this one is especially, it's going to have its fans and they're going to love it. And then it's going to have people who think it's, very tasty and fun to sip on. I think that I fit into that category. And I think you're going to find people who think it's just too much.
Mm.
You know? And for me, like I'm in the enjoying it, having a good time category. I'm like where do you fit in on that?
I love namazake. I love unpasteurized sake. I love fruity sake. But I think that this type of namazake is really best consumed super, super, super fresh. To get the most enjoyment out of the ethyl caproate fruitiness that's in there.
Mm-hmm. I think I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, Kochi Prefecture ordered some super over-the-top fruity yeast, and the Kochi Prefectural Industrial Technology Center, they delivered.
They definitely did.
They got what
they
ordered.
They did. They be careful what you wish for, because this is exactly what it is. One thing is, I thought there were only like a handful of Cell 24 sakes, because I really had only seen a handful. Mm. And then when I was in Kochi, I found out that most of the breweries there have experimented with Cell 24 at some point or another. And then if you look around, you'll find bottles that they've done. And the vibe is a little different off of them, even though they're still big and loud. This is not a yeast that can be tamed by any stretch of the imagination, but you can bring it down a notch and control it a little bit. I think I had one from Bijofu that I thought was a lot of fun.
Yes.
That was a little bit muted next to this. So it was a little bit more my speed, but it was still really sweet. And it's still quite the fruit explosion. I'm going beyond fruit bomb, Tim. This is fruit explosion.
Yes. One other point about Cell 24 that I read is that it produces alcohol very slowly. So they cannot reach the higher alcohol levels with Cell 24.
Oh, so that's why it's 14%.
That's why it's 14%. It is very fruity, geared more towards lower alcohol sakes. So that may be another reason why we're clocking in here at 14%, and it's still a Genshu or undiluted.
Yeah, very nice.
Okay, John. Well, you know, for being away for a little bit, I think, you know, it's like riding a bike.
We got to say that too. It is like riding a bike, and honestly, it's really good to be back. It's so nice to be doing this with you again. I really miss it.
Absolutely. I am so glad to be sharing this super fruity Puma Wheelhouse sake with you today.
It's more than the wheelhouse. The house is full. No, it's delicious though.
Yeah, it is delicious. It was so great to taste with you, John. And I'm very happy to be back behind the microphone, and so happy to have all of our listeners tuning in again. Thank you so much for listening today. I want to send a special thank you to all of our patrons as well. If you'd like to learn more about supporting Sake Revolution podcast, please visit patreon.com/sakerevolution to learn more.
And remember that every episode of Sake Revolution comes complete with show notes. The show notes have a transcript of everything we talked about. They have photos, usually of the labels. Photos of labels are really important, especially when you're dealing with a sake like this, which has a fun and unique label. So get over to the site and check that out. We have a link to our shop there where you can buy things like stickers and t-shirts. And well, we're not dealing with work projects. One of these days, we're going to add more stuff. That's the plan. That's on my 2024 roadmap. So, Tim, on that note, please grab your glass. Remember to keep drinking sake and kanpai.